Welcome to our Sunday message for Sunday the 2nd of November 2025. We read one scripture in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 51 to 56. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 51 to 56. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. As they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Heavenly Father, bless this word to us as we uncover that which it has in store for our spiritual growth. May we all receive it. May we be strengthened thereby and better equipped to fight the good fight of faith that you've called us to as we live on this earth. We ask this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. Now, we have been discussing the whole subject of you and I being developed spiritually, becoming strong in our spirit man. And as we've been saying, the spirit man reflects to a large extent the same requirements our physical being has if it wants to develop. It has to be fed properly and it has to be exercised properly. And we went to great lengths to describe what would constitute healthy food for the spirit of man. Ultimately, healthy food, pure food, is the truth. The truth being what God thinks in any situation. And we described how you and I need to have a regular healthy diet, and we need to be involved with burning off, as it were, the faith that develops from that healthy diet. Remember, our spirit man needs to absorb the word of God, take from it the nutrients and the power and the energy, but that is not enough. It has to be burnt off. And we went on to explain that just in the normal course of life, every Christian in dealing with this world system automatically has to burn off faith. It's the nature of the game. Just like a human being, just by virtue of the fact that we live every day, we consume energy. We have to take up energy. And in the same way as the human being who doesn't feed himself properly will eventually die, so the spirit man, if not regularly fed, will also eventually just die. And that is the lot of many people who have come into the kingdom of God, failed to take care of their spirit being, and as a result have backslidden, spiritual death. But we wanted to go on from there. You see, we're not just designed to survive. I keep saying this over and over again. Many Christians are quite content to survive and feel quite proud of themselves if they do survive. But the Lord reminded me just the other morning that the church's job is not to just, as it were, nursemaid them through over to the other side. Many people, that's all they want to do, and no one can change that. But there's much, much more. And as I said, the Lord reminded me, and he used this phrase. He said the church's job is to develop servant leadership full of faith and power. Our job as the body of Christ is to develop within our ranks servant leadership, full of faith and power. And I'm believing that these teachings will help us to understand how we can develop our faith. Remember, faith is a substance. We burn it off and we replenish. That process is the same process we use when building our muscles. We take in food, we convert it into energy, we break down our muscles, then the natural process takes place of the muscles being rebuilt. It's the same with the spirit man. You and I go out into the world, our faith is burnt off by all the forces that are out there arrayed against us. If we fail to come home and at some stage replenish our faith, replenish by reading the precious word of God, absorbing the word of God, being strengthened by prayer and other ways we're going to talk about. If we fail to do that, if we fail to do what is necessary to maintain our spiritual man in the same way as we need to look after our physical man, if we don't do that, as I said, we die. However, once again, we're not just trying to survive. There's much more. There's a war to be fought. And if you look at the natural body, you have people that from day to day just go about their daily work. But some people decide they're going to develop their muscles for whatever reason. My point is this, they make a conscious decision. You and I, in our lives, and this is the point of this whole message, we have to realize that we can do much more, but also that much more won't just automatically happen. It won't be just a matter of circumstance that it happens. We have to make a conscious decision. The title of this message is The Power of Resolve. The Power of Resolve. And I need to explain the process as clearly as I possibly can, realizing that it's a very challenging message, but the call goes out for every one of us to take on the challenge and to become a greater blessing because of it. If you take a person who goes to exercise, they make a decision. They say, I want to reach that particular weightlifting ability, or I want to develop a part of my body in that particular way. They make a decision. If they don't make that decision, of course, it will never happen. It might just be a wishful thought. They might see somebody with a physique that they appreciate and say, it would be nice to be like that. But as we all know, just wanting to be like that is not enough. What has got to happen is they have to make a decision. And you see, the success of the endeavor will be determined totally by the depth of that decision. Not just a passing decision. What here I will call a resolve. Making a resolution. An unwavering determination. This is the key to all great spiritual growth. There was a very wealthy man in the boom days of America's history. And this wealthy man was approached by a young man who said to him, what is the key to your success? And to the amazement of everybody around him, this was in the day and age before motor transport, he took this young man by the scruff of the neck and thrust his head into a nearby water trough, a drinking trough for the horses. And he held him there until that young man began to struggle and struggle, and suddenly, with force of willpower, burst out to save his life, obviously. And the wealthy man said to him, the key to success is to want it as much as you wanted air. And you see, you and I, when we decide to develop ourselves spiritually, don't think for one second that the enemy of our soul will back off and say, well, this will be interesting. Quite on the contrary, his job is to challenge us every step of the way. But you see, it all works actually in God's favor. Why? Because his challenging actually results, or let me say rather, can result in us becoming stronger. However, because he challenges us doesn't mean that we will naturally get stronger. What it does mean is that if we are prepared to go through whatever it costs, then we will get stronger. But we won't go through, you see, if we haven't made a deep-hearted decision. The scripture we read, here the Lord is, up till now, please, in his ministry, he healed everybody. He had great crusades, great signs, great wonders, great teachings, great demonstrations of God's goodness. And that was the way he was operating at a particular stage. However, the moment came where the Spirit advised him, now is the time to go and be crucified. Not a pleasant thought, even if you are the Son of God. In the physical body, the challenges of that crucifixion, the horrific challenges, are horrendous. However, what does the word say? And it was prophesied, by the way, by Isaiah, that he would set his face as flint. Isaiah didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But here, that very thought is captured by the Lord, realizing the time is up. I must go and get done what has to be done. And he sets his face. And you see, the moment he set his face, the whole dynamic of his ministry changed. The issues of healing people and performing miracles and teaching became secondary. He now had to focus on something much higher, because as many people as he could possibly heal under the anointing of an Old Testament prophet, until he went to the cross, that healing wouldn't be available to all. That's what he was setting his heart towards. So you see, his mind was made up. And please, the moment you and I resolve to do something for God, whatever it is, don't think that the world around us will be so happy about it. They won't understand. These villagers got offended because basically ignored them. They thought, who do you think you are coming through our village? You stopped to see everybody else, but maybe they said, not us. Are we inferior? The disciples got upset. They said to the master, should we bring down fire? These people are insulting you. But you see, he understood something. They couldn't understand what was going on. Couldn't have a clue. But he had to, despite their opposition, push on and achieve that which God had ordained. And so it is, you see. You and I are living our lives, but we know there's more. We know there's more. There's more for us in God's kingdom, supernaturally and physically, financially, emotionally, mentally, productively, so to speak. God wants fruit in our lives. And you see, to achieve that fruit, we need greater faith. And so we come to the place where you and I need to decide to take on what I will call faith challenges. And the faith challenge is basically saying, I'm not prepared to live with the status quo. Things as normal. And you see, we choose a particular area of our life in which perhaps we realize there's room for great improvement. And please, there's room for great improvement in all of our lives and in every area of our lives. With God, as I always say, there's always more. But you see, we have to decide. The example I like to use so often is the whole issue of healing. We can go through life accepting the fact that we might get sick now and then, and thank God for the doctors, but they're there to heal us or get us healed, whatever they use. But you see, there comes a time when we say, no, there are sicknesses in this world that medicine has no answer for. I want to be God's answer to that, which is exactly what the Lord did on this earth. He healed that which was impossible in the natural to be healed. And he told us to do the same. Now, once again, we can live through life and say, well, that's a very nice thing. Wouldn't it be nice to do that, and maybe one day. But you see, if we have that attitude, it will never happen. The call goes out for you and I to realize, listen, there's a place where I can live in divine health. That's what God wants. He doesn't want for you and I to wait for sickness to come our way and then develop our faith. Very often that would be too late, which is often the case with many people, Christians as well. You see, we need to look at the Bible and realize by honestly looking at what God has said and what His Son did, that healing is for us. Supernatural healing is available. It's all a question of developing our faith. Does that mean that it's wrong to go to doctors? Not at all. But you see, it's very much like if I want to go from here to Johannesburg, there are various alternatives. I could actually get hold of a horse and try and ride there, or I could go in a car. What I'm saying is there are ways of getting to a destination. Some are better than others. And by far, the better way to live is by faith. Because then our faith is not in a system that is subject to failure. It's faith in a system that is absolute. And so you see, when the enemy brings things across our path, and not just our path, the path of others, where medicine throws up its hands and says, there's no way. We need to be prepared to face circumstances like that, because there is a way. And that way is the way of faith in Almighty God, who can do all things, and who said to us, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, there's many steps in this process of coming to the place where our faith has grown. But the starting point is always a resolve. I'm going to see the Word of God produce health in my body. I'm going to learn this faith lesson. And let me just say, once you and I want to learn a faith lesson, put on your armor for a faith battle. There is no other way. You and I will not develop faith without a battle. We will not have victory if there is no war. It's that simple. And you see, as we go into that war, there's lots to be learnt on the way. It would be impossible to teach everything that has to be learnt, because every situation is different. And everybody has to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Although the general principles might very well be the same, in every situation, the application will take on a different form. And so you see, we can't just look at somebody else's example and do exactly what they did and expect it to have the same result. But we need to learn the principles. And those principles need to be learned primarily for ourselves from the Word of God. We will only be able to make a resolute decision if we know that that decision is based on the truth. You and I will not push through to divine health if we do not believe deep down in our hearts that that's God's will for our lives. And the road to there, although it might be tricky, will inevitably come to pass. So the call goes out to you and I to choose a faith battle, not to be satisfied just with our status quo. And in building our faith, we can look to many, many examples in the Word of God, which ultimately not only is the seed of our faith, but is the water that washes it and builds it up. My favorite example, I think, is the woman with the issue of blood. We've talked about this so many times, but it always thrills my soul to think that somebody could have demonstrated such resilience, such courage. All of society was against her. Her physical strength was totally against her. Her emotional condition was totally against her. The religious system of the day was violently opposed to what she was going to do. And yet, despite all of this, despite everything, she made this resolve. It states clearly in the Word, she said to herself. Can you see that? She said to herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. And so she went through this great ordeal when she knew he was coming to town. Please, if she had just waited in her home and said, oh, if he wants to, he will come and heal me, Like so many Christians are taught to think, if it's God's will, he will do it. Well, it is his will, but no, he won't. He has already. That's borne out by the fact that she went through the crowd, crept through the mud in a completely weakened and terrified condition. But despite all of that, ultimately, she managed to do what? Reach out and cling hold of, grab hold of the hem of his garment. And please note something. The Lord did not notice her. He did not decide to heal her. He didn't stop in his tracks and say, God has told me there's a woman that needs to be healed. She's come a long way. Stand aside, everybody. No, she pushed through. And the moment she grabbed, this is the beautiful truth. The healing that was already there manifest in her life. He felt power flowing out of him. Children of God, we look at the promises of God. Don't think that you have to wait for the Lord to look upon us and show us favor. He already has. That is the truth of the Word of God. Our job is to reach out in faith. Notice the Lord said of her, your faith has made you well. You and I need to come to the place where we are prepared to pay whatever price necessary in terms of personal development, personal sacrifice, and many other things. Things which we will talk about briefly, but which we cannot go into in great detail because it is an ongoing learning process. But you see, we will not learn anything. We'll continue to go round and around in circles until we make that decision. I will have that which God has provided for me. The moment we do that, God smiles on us, and all of heaven begins to prepare, as it were, a road, a path, to get the right teachings to us, arranges to make the right divine appointments, to bring the right challenges, to give us the right word, the right revelation at the right time as we push on. And great is the day, you see, when we grab hold. And no longer do we have to believe because we choose to believe, because we see it in the Word. We no longer have to do that. We no longer need to have any more evidence. Faith is the evidence. We no longer need the evidence. Why? Because we've got the fact. We've got the manifestation of that which we sought. And that's the kind of life God wants you and I to live. And you see, when you and I are starting to live that life, our faith gets developed, not just for ourselves, but we start seeing signs and wonders happen as we pray for others. God created us to live above and not beneath. I pray that we will take hold of this challenge, wherever it may lead us, and that we won't be content just to survive, just to make it over the finish line one day, maybe, but rather to come over the finishing line victorious, day in and day out, living a life of victory. Why? Because of the Word of God working mightily in us and His Spirit on us. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.